Would you like to know what you should be doing between now and when the applications come out that will enhance your chances of acceptance to top MBA programs? Listen in, and I'm going to tell you exactly that.
Welcome to Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. Your host is Acceptance founder and world-renowned admissions guru, Linda Abraham. At Accepted, our mission is to get you to that unforgettable moment when you read your acceptance email and shout, "Yes, I'm in!" Confident you'll be attending the perfect program to help you launch the career of your dreams.
Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining me for this, the 356th episode of Admission Straight Talk. First off, I want to mention that the content in this podcast, which is actually going to be a training, I'm going to present it solo, is going to mirror very much the content I presented in the webinar that I gave recently, 7 Steps to a Successful MBA Application in 2021. I feel that the material I presented there is just really, really invaluable to MBA applicants, and I don't want my podcast listeners to miss it. So here we go. What motivates me to provide this? Why do I feel it's so important? Basically, there are 3 reasons. One, every year when applicants come to us in the fall or 1 or 2 weeks before the application, we are very frustrated because they're starting the process, frankly, late, and they're shortchanging their chances of acceptance to their dream schools. Now, we'd love to start working with applicants whenever they come to us, but if you start working with us now, or you start the process now and you work independently, you'll find that you can improve your profile, you can improve your qualifications and your chances of acceptance because you're starting early. If you don't start early, there's this last minute rush and tension and stress, and there's just a limited number of options for you. Start early, there's a lot more you can do to really improve yourself and your chances of acceptance. The second reason that I feel this information is so, so valuable is because I think there's a lot of misleading and limiting imagery in MBA admissions. And this comes from very well-meaning admissions directors, consultants like myself, and sometimes MBA applicants and students. But I've been doing this for 25 years. I'm going to try and limit that very, very much and base this podcast strictly on the last 25 years where I've been both acting as an admissions consultant, seeing what works and what doesn't, and of course, interviewing. And I think if you include the old online chats with Accepted, I've probably had close to 400 interviews with either podcast interviews or chats with MBA admissions directors and mostly at top schools. And the third reason I think this information is so valuable is the paradox of MBA admissions. And we're going to get to that at the end. Now, after 25 years in this business, I mentioned I've seen a lot of metaphors used in describing the MBA admissions process. Some say it's an accounting exercise. It's a chance for you to assess your assets and your liabilities and I guess come up with some kind of equity. Others will say it's all about personal branding, right? Consider, putting an MBA on your hide. And then others will say it's all about marketing. You want to show how you're new and improved and better than the next person. Well, I believe metaphors and similes can be useful. I think they've really been abused in the MBA admissions process, and therefore they obscure what it's all about. I can't promise that I'm never going to use an image, but I do promise that during this podcast episode, I'm going to provide you with a purpose-driven, goal-centered approach to the MBA application process, including what you should be doing now, 6 to 9 months before you plan to hit submit, that will improve your application and maximize your chances of acceptance at top MBA programs when you apply in round 1 or round 2 of the 2021 application season. So let's move on and let's discuss the first concern that I have. This is this annual frustration that I experience with applicants who come to us at the last minute. Yes, we can polish your essays during the week or two before they're due, but we can do so much more if you start early. That's if you start with us or if you start on your own. So we're now at the beginning of March. I think by the time this show ends, it'll probably be mid or late March. This podcast is really about you using the next few months before the applications come out to improve your profile and then hit the ground running when those essay questions actually are available to you. So I said that this is based on 7 steps to acceptance. There are going to be 7 steps that I'm going to discuss. Number 1, begin with the end in mind. A lot of times the goal of the MBA is almost an afterthought. We talk to applicants who say, "I want to get an MBA." And I'll say, "What do you want to do with it?" "I want to work in business." "Well, you know, okay, great. That's normal, but it's very general. It's way too general. Or I want to work in healthcare. I want to work in consulting. Or the best one is I want to work in healthcare, or I want to work in consulting or finance. That means you don't know what you want to do. And you might as well just telegraph that the admissions committees, some of whom care very deeply about what you want to do. So let me give you an example. On a podcast episode, number 185, exhibit.com/185, if you want to listen for yourself, I asked Sujin Kwon Ko, longtime admissions director and now dean at Ross, what makes an application really stand out for you? This woman has looked at thousands of MBA applications. And her answer was, they know what they want and know themselves, and who can articulate it well, they can connect the dots. That's how you want to appear to an admissions director like Sujin Kwon, or like many, many other admissions directors who also want to know that you can connect the dots. And I'll give you another example in a minute. So what is an MBA goal? What makes a successful one? Why is I want to go into business not adequate, or healthcare, or consulting and finance? A good, clear post-MBA goal, certainly your immediate post-MBA goal, consists of the function you want to perform, what you want to do, and the industry in which you want to do it. It's not necessarily the same thing as what you want to study. For example, you may want to study finance, great, in order to do investment banking or private equity or whatever. And you may want to study marketing, fantastic, in order to do brand management or product management or advertising, or become ultimately a chief marketing officer. That would be a long-term goal, though. Your long-term goal is usually longer term, naturally. Usually we're looking 5 to 10 years down the road. And it can be more aspirational. It does not have to be as concrete or as focused, more dreamlike. It may include a way of contributing to the betterment of society, something on a larger scale, some larger scale impact. That's fantastic. That's all good. If you have something like that and you're asked about your long-term goal, by all means, include it. It is less critical from an admissions perspective, but if you have something, if you know what you kind of where you want to end up or the direction in which you want to take your career, by all means, share it and be prepared to discuss it in interviews. What should you do if you aren't clear about your post-MBA goal? Well, I would suggest you talk to people, do some research. Yes, you can do online research too, but do some informational interviews. Talk to people who are in positions that you find appealing, who are hiring people for positions that you find appealing, and ask them, what do they actually do all day long? What education do they believe was useful to them? Do they wish they would have had before they started? And from what programs do they want to hire people for the positions that you find appealing? Then take time to think about what you want to do. Really take time to reflect on what appeals to you. Once you have a clearly defined goal, it's going to be a substantive and meaningful guide in the process of choosing schools. It really becomes your North Star, and that's what you want. You want this goal in front of you, and you can change it later. That's okay, but it will help you choose where to apply. It'll help you to choose what offers to accept if you have multiple offers. It will help you choose where to invest your time and energies when you're on campus and you have this incredible array of extracurricular activities to choose from, choose classes. It will really become, again, your North Star. And as I indicated earlier with the example about Sujin Kwon, realize that at many schools, a clearly defined, realistic post-MBA goal is as much a requirement of admissions as a competitive GMAT or quality work experience. And here's another example. Chicago Booth explicitly says that it seeks a, quote, sense of personal direction and it's again quoting, realistic expectations for the MBA. And many, many others say very similar things. That's why so many schools ask about your goals. They care. Now, what about your qualifications? If step one is what you want in a school, step two is what you bring to the table and evidence of your potential for success in a particular MBA program and beyond. So step two is evaluate your qualifications. And there are four basic areas you need to examine. Number one, academics. You want to show that you can and will do the work. So grades and test scores are the most common ways to show academic ability, but not exclusively. Obviously, those are the most common. And again, test scores show that you kind of have that raw ability. Grades show that you have the discipline to apply yourself in an academic setting. Second pillar is work experience. And both quantity and quality count. They are both important. In terms of quantity, I think the bullseye is 3 to 6 years of full-time work experience. The outside would be 2 to 8 years. Quality, schools want to see increasing responsibility, growth on the job, and impact, and demonstrated managerial ability. In other words, hopefully having had some people under you or some management of assets, that's what they're looking for. If you have global work experience or multicultural work experience, it's definitely a plus. What about personal qualities? That's the third area to examine in this assessment. What are they looking for primarily? Well, if in real estate, it's location, 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 and MBA admissions is leadership, leadership, leadership. That's the most important quality business schools are looking for, but it's not exclusively that. They're also looking for teamwork, organizational, analytical, and communication skills, initiative, and an entrepreneurial mindset. Some schools will emphasize some of these qualities more than others, but they're all looking for that. In essence, they're looking to admit, contributors, givers, people of impact and consequence. And you have to show through your application, and not just your application has to reflect that you are one of those kinds of people. The fourth element that you're going to want to assess, again, the first one is academics, second is work experience, three is personal traits. And the fourth, which I'm choosing to set as a separate element, is fit. And by fit in this case, I mean fit with the culture and values of a particular school, showing that you identify with the school's values and will fit into its culture, meet its qualification, and add to its community. On some level, you could argue, and I have, I think, in other contexts, argued that the first three pillars are also about fit. But I added this one because a school's mission and stated criteria or values are really important to them, and they tend to be overlooked by applicants. They're less quantitative, they're less concrete, and it's easier to just kind of not pay attention. Don't make the mistake, pay attention. Now, what if you look at these elements and you say, you know, I don't think I'm really competitive. I don't think I'm as good as I can be in some of these areas. Well, you can still improve. You can mitigate. You can enhance. And you can do that because you're starting now. Now, can you improve your profile to make yourself more competitive? Absolutely. And we're going to get to that in action step number four. But before that, there's action step and item number three. Okay. And number three is research the schools and choose the schools you want to apply to. So as you look at the schools and you're doing this research and you're online and perhaps talking to people, what should you be looking at? You should be looking at which schools are best suited to help you achieve your goals. So the first place I would look is recruitment and placement. If you're interested in healthcare, did you know that I think it's something like 14-18% of all grads from Vanderbilt go into healthcare? I doubt it. But if that's an interest of yours, I would certainly look into Vanderbilt. Doesn't mean you're going to go there right away, but it's certainly a program to consider. And what about, you know, the curriculum itself? You're going to be spending a lot of time in class. Do you want a case-based school? Do you want a school that emphasizes experiential learning? Do you want a school where the professors choose the approach that they feel is most appropriate for the material? I've spoken to a lot of HBS students that complain about the case method being used to teach basic accounting, for example, and certain business basics. They feel it's great for other things, but not for the elementary skills building. So that's something that you should know about and think about. And you might decide that if you get into Harvard, you'll put up with that, which could also be a very wise decision, but something that you need to think about. And then there are the extracurricular activities and opportunities that any top MBA program offers in spades. Which are the ones that are most important to you? If you're considering an East Coast school, is it important that it has treks to the Bay Area or international study opportunities or particular conferences, in-class internships like Columbia has? There are all kinds of extracurricular, well, you could argue that maybe it's a curricular opportunity, I don't know. But there are all kinds of programs and extracurricular activities that could support your goals or may not support your goals. And you have to look into that. And then there's personal preference. Don't ignore it. If your significant other is going to be miserable in a particular location, I think you need to take that into account. If you love skiing and snow, then northern climes would be just great. On the other hand, if you hate snow, then maybe you want to look more at schools that tend to not have any or have less. Maybe you prefer a big city. Maybe you prefer a smaller college town. These are personal preferences, and they should also go into the mix as you evaluate and research schools. Now, where should you do this research? You can look at specialty rankings. I'm not a big fan of doing research in the general rankings. The specialty rankings can be of some help. Again, I would really, really examine those career service and employment reports to see where grads are getting jobs, what industries and what functions, and of course, which companies. Definitely use the school's website to learn about the curriculum, the culture, etc. And if there are relevant blogs from students or even admissions officers, take a look. And I would even go beyond that in either using LinkedIn or various club pages or perhaps the admissions office, see if you can't get in touch with current students and recent alumni. MBA Tour has receptions around the world. I think there's some other tour organizations also. Take advantage of those. Meet the schools in your locale, especially if you can't visit. And also take up many schools will bring students with them, or you can make a connection with an admissions officer and perhaps ask to speak to students. Take advantage of all those opportunities. And if you can, visit the schools. If there's a top MBA program that you're interested in and it's in your city, take the time, make the time to visit. Take it or make it, but do it. If the schools you're interested in are outside your city, certainly if they're outside your country, then it becomes a little bit more difficult to visit. And I'm not, this is coronavirus aside, not touching on that, more normal times. If you can visit schools, it's both a serious sign of interest, certainly at schools outside of major metropolitan areas, and is also highly informative, really, really help you in your decision-making process. It's not practical for everybody. Now, when you're doing all this research, you should have two questions in mind. Does the school support your goals? And are you competitive at these schools? And you know what? You have to answer both in the affirmative in order to apply intelligently. Imagine for a moment two circles. One circle is all the schools you are interested in, and the other circle is the schools that are likely to admit you. If the two circles don't intersect, you're likely to be rejected. But if there's a space where they do intersect, the area where they intersect, or the schools that fall in the area that they intersect, those are the schools that you should be applying to, because those are one, A, support your goals where you'll be happy, and B, those are schools where you're likely to get accepted. What if your slides look more like the rejection? In other words, the circles don't intersect. Then you have two choices. You need to either choose other schools or improve your qualifications. And the latter is, as I mentioned earlier, action item number 4, improve your profile. Now let's go through the 4 areas of your application, or what I call the pillars, and see how you can improve them if that's necessary. So the first one is the academics. If your undergrad grades were low, or you need to provide evidence, then you need to provide evidence that you have the ability and the discipline to succeed. And I would strongly recommend that you listen to exhibit.com/137, 5 A's for your low GPA, which is all about mitigating the impact of a low GPA. If your quant skills are weak, you're the proverbial poet, but your grades are good, consider something like mbamath.com, HBS Online, massive open online courses, just to both get yourself back into that quantitative groove. This is particularly true if your work is not highly quantitative, and to show the schools that you're improving those skills even now. And this could also, obviously, if you get a great quant score on your GMAT, this is less important, but it's certainly an idea if you are more the poet type. Now, your GMAT or GRE, the best way to handle a low test score is to simply retake and raise it. If you're not sure if you should retake, or if you have taken the GMAT 3 or more times, just on the accepted site, on the blog.accepted.com, do a search for should you retake the GMAT, and the short video will come up. We also had a GMAT webinar, and we'll link to that in the show notes. What about work experience? What if you examine your work experience and you say, you know what, I don't have enough, it's too little. Perhaps you're still in school, perhaps you've only been out a year or so. You could try and aim for schools with lower average ages at matriculation. However, schools really seem to be turning away from admitting and matriculating MBA students straight from college or with less than 2 years of work experience. So you have several options. You have the deferred MBA admission programs where you are accepted to a business school, but then you work for a couple of years. Yale Scholars is a little bit different, but this is the basic idea for most of them. And then you come back to that school after, you know, 2 to 4 years of work experience. You could also consider an MS in management like that offered by Duke, London Business School, Kellogg, or Ross. And again, the deferred admissions programs are really for those currently in college or in master's programs who have no full-time work experience. What if you're on the other end, you have too much work experience? If you're in that 6 to 8 years of work experience category, just aim for programs with higher ages of matriculation. European programs tend to be in that category, and there are some US programs. That's not such a big deal. When you get over 8 and certainly over 10 years of full-time work experience, then I'd suggest that you consider more executive MBA programs and also the Stanford MSX program or the Sloan Fellows programs at MIT and London Business School. You also have the TRIUM program, T-R-I-U-M. Those are all programs, one-year, full-time, immersive programs aimed at people, usually in middle management, in their mid-30s to lower 40s or up. Those will be the programs for you. If you are applying to the full-time MBA program and you are above that 8-year level, then I would advise you to be extra clear about why you want an MBA now at your level of work experience. You don't have to explain necessarily why you didn't apply earlier. The excuses won't impress. But why you want it now, and if possible, show that you're not going to be relying on the school to find you a job post-MBA. You have the context to achieve your dreams, or perhaps already have an offer to return to your current employer, perhaps it's your own company. As I mentioned earlier, international experience is not required, except perhaps at INSEAD, where it is almost a requirement, but it sure is nice to have, and actually it's really valued at many of the European business schools. If you don't have it at all, you might want to see if you can move into a project with an international component. Again, it can only add. Now, what about personal qualities? What if you feel your leadership is deficient? Well, try and take on responsibilities at work that will allow you to demonstrate the qualities that we talked about, right? Leadership foremost, but the other ones are teamwork, analytical ability, managerial ability. It can be not so easy to take on leadership roles at work. There are obviously a lot of other people, and you're still fairly junior in your career. It can be much easier to assume leadership roles in volunteer capacities. That also allows you to show that you're a contributor. So consider either starting a community service and commitment. If you already have that, then I would suggest that you consider upping your game and maybe assuming more responsibility, expanding your responsibility, and realize that the other thing about community service, it's an opportunity to demonstrate these desired personal qualities, but it's also an opportunity to show that you're not just thinking about yourself, you are involved in your community. And if schools believe that you've been involved in your community to date, they'll also believe that you'll be involved in their community should they give you an offer. Until now, we've been talking about pre-application strategy and tactics more than implementation and application. But I'd like to shift gears here and discuss 3 to-dos that will directly contribute to your application. And they're more directly associated with the application itself, and they will contribute more when the applications come out. So action item, let's go through the action items again. Number 1 was hone your goal. Number 2 was assess your qualifications. Number 3 was research the schools. Number 4 was improve what needed to be improved. And number 5, prep for essays. Now, notice I didn't say draft essays. I'm talking about jotting down notes and ideas. I wouldn't start writing application essays yet, even if you know what schools you want to apply to. But I would create a file where you can jot down ideas for topics to include. That could be notes from informational interviews, some of your school research, your idea, things you like or dislike about particular programs, and even possible essay topics. And when you're thinking about the possible essay topics, think about what you really want schools to know about you. What experiences are you most proud of? What was the challenge that you faced in that experience? What did you do? What was your impact? What character traits did you reveal through your actions? When you have those notes and the applications come out, you can then start working on the essays, but you'll be a little bit ahead of the game because you'll have all these notes that you can draw on. You obviously have your thoughts too. Again, I wouldn't start drafting essays yet, but I would write these notes down. But I would nail other stuff. You can start working on the essays in June or July as the applications come out. So what would I suggest that you nail? Well, that's action item number 6. That's your resume. You want to keep your resume to 1 page. You want to focus it on achievements and outcomes, not just descriptions of responsibilities. Quantify your impact whenever possible. And please, 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 this is a pet peeve of mine, don't use bullet points to repeat what your job title implies. So if you're a financial analyst, don't tell me that you run financial models. I know that. What you could tell me is how your financial model convinced your company to invest in XYZ or to cut out ABC, the impact of what your research and analysis did. So that was item number 6, right, was the resume. Item number 7, decide on and talk to your recommenders. Now, your recommenders should be people who supervise you directly and really, really know what you're capable of doing. They also should be willing to write a great recommendation for you. How do you know they're going to do that? Ask them. All right, don't guess. Ask them, are you willing and able to write a strong letter of recommendation for me? You don't have to ask them today or tomorrow. I don't know exactly when you're listening to this. I'm recording it in early March. I think you can wait to ask them in May or June and ask them if they're willing to write a strong supportive letter. Tell them you're going to give them material they can use, and that would be your resume, a brief summary of your accomplishments under their supervision or that they would know about, and access to the recommendation, as well as a one-paragraph summary of what the school is looking for that will allow them to tie your accomplishments to what the school values, as well as about 4 weeks' notice. Give them a time frame in terms of the calendar when you're likely to need their assistance. And I don't think there's anything wrong, by the way, if you tell them that the thing is due a week early. That'd be my recommendation, actually. Okay, let's just review the 7 items, then it'll be time to wrap up. Number 1, hone your goal. Number 2, evaluate your qualifications. That would be your academics, your work experience, personal qualities, and fit. 3, research the schools to determine which best support your goals. 4, improve those areas that need improving. 5, essay prep. No pressure, just jot down notes. 6, work on your resume. That's an item you can nail now. And then 7, decide on and ask your recommenders. They will help you. Some of you will look at this list and wisely decide to apply second round or even wait a year. Others will have only a few action items to take care of because you've already started on many of these tasks. Congratulations. But you should all have something to do. And whatever you do now will improve your chances of acceptance in 2021. Right now, I'd like you to write down at least one action item you're going to start on this week based on today's podcast and set yourself a deadline for completion. Okay, now I discussed, remember I mentioned three motivations for the webinar, and I never talked about the third one. Let me do that right now. Let's discuss that third cause for me having this originally webinar and that now podcast. And I mentioned it way back at the beginning of the podcast, and that's the stress-inducing paradox of MBA admissions. You need to show that you fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool, that you're a unique individual. And that, on one hand, you're all unique, so it should be pretty easy. But you know what? It really isn't, because you come from the same general background. Now, we understand that, and we have a free download that addresses this particular part of the MBA application process. It's called Fitting In and Standing Out, The Paradox at the Heart of Admissions. This guide will show you how to do both, fit in and stand out. Master this paradox, and you have really advanced your application. Just that simple. Download this free guide at accepted.com/FISO for fitting in and standing out. Again, that's accepted.com/FISO. Listener, thank you very much for tuning in for this, our 356th episode. I'll be back next week with a guest. This is Admissions Trade Talk, produced by Accepted, and I'm your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.